plants. Let there be. God spoke those things into existence. He spoke the word, and then it happened. When you speak God's word, things happen. It's very, very powerful. In the book of Ezekiel, we see that God commanded Ezekiel to prophesy to the dead bones. We have to prophesy over our town. You have to prophesy over the town where you live in, because that's where God has placed you. And you are to prophesy to the dead people that they will come back to life. Prophecy is not a joke. Prophecy is something that all the church can be involved in. You know, we can all prophesy, the Bible says, in turn, one after the other. Because if we all have the Spirit of God, we can all prophesy. Amen. Amen. If you don't believe me, turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Because it's important we start to act on these things. It's not enough for us to know them. It's not enough for us to read them in the Bible. We have to start doing them. And when we step out, God is going to meet you. And he's going to work through your mouth and prophesy through you. When did you last prophesy? There's a little challenge for you. When did you last prophesy? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. And this is Paul speaking to the church. God is speaking to the church in Corinth. And he's exhorting them and saying to them, follow the way of love. And eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Very few people I know want to prophesy. Why is that? Are we just scared of getting it wrong? But the Bible exhorts us to follow the way of love. Love is the answer. God is love. Amen. We must follow his love. Sometimes love says no, not just yes. We must follow God, must follow the way of love. This is God's way, it's the way of love. And if you read 1 Corinthians 13, it tells you all about what love is. It's not what many people think it is. Love is being patient. Yes. It's being kind. Love is not boasting. It's not being proud. It's about not being rude or self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. If you walk in love, you won't go wrong. You walk in those principles, those practices, you will not go wrong. And that is what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk in love. We are to love our neighbors. Amen. We're to love everybody. Black, white, yellow, green if necessary. We are to love every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every type of person in our society. Come on in. We are to love everybody because God loves us all. Amen. He loves everybody. But listen to this. It doesn't stop there. He says, this is what you are to do. Follow the way of love. Walk in love. You are to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And you're to love your neighbor just like you love yourself. You know the Bible says you are to love yourself. You're to care for yourself. You're to look after yourself. It also talks about self-denial. But it says that you are to love your neighbor like you love yourself. You look after your body. You look after your mind. Well, you should do. God has given us many things to look after. We are to love people, love ourselves, love God. That is it. That's the fulfillment. Love God, love people. You follow that, you won't go wrong. But you've got to follow those principles. You've got to be patient. You've got to be kind. You've got to be loving. You've got to forget the wrong things that have been done to you. You've got to persevere. Love never fails. It's an awesome thing to walk in love. God wants us to walk in the love of God. and then we will not fail. But he also says, but then he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. But we don't. We just seem happy to just get a little bit of Jesus. And God, I believe, is saying there is so much more. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. Why should you desire the gift of prophecy? Because it's so powerful. It's so encouraging. It's so uplifting. It's so strengthening. It's a marvelous gift of God. And it's like, let's say the piano is the gift of prophecy. And God is saying, here it is, guys. It's a free gift. And everybody goes out that door. We don't want it. But it's a gift. God wants you to desire the gift of prophecy, because prophecy changes things. Basically, prophecy is speaking out God's word under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we can all prophesy. You can prophesy. I can prophesy. Everybody in this room can prophesy. If you've got Jesus in your heart, if you have the Spirit of God, you can prophesy, and prophecy will change your life. It will change your family. It will change your nation, because whenever Ezekiel prophesied to the dead bones, things started happening. In fact, it says specifically that as I began to prophesy, the bones came together. And then sinews were formed on the bones, and ligaments, and then flesh, and then skin. When you prophesy, things happen. We don't understand the power of words. Your words are very powerful. So that's why the Bible says, let your words be few. You get it? The Bible says, let your words be few. Because we'll be accountable for every careless word that we say. But when you do speak, say something good. Say something positive. Speak prophecy over your life, over your church, over your ministry. It is just a little touch of what we are experiencing in God now. He has got so much more for you. He's got more gifts for you. He's got more prophecy. He's going to use you to prophesy. And that word will come to pass. As I began to prophesy, there was a rattling. There was a noise. Something was taking place. You see, Ezekiel was not speaking to just physical bones. We've got to understand the Bible. He wasn't talking to the graveyard. But it's a type of where Israel was. They were dead spiritually. It was as if they were in a grave. They were dead, but he began to prophesy to the nation and they came alive. One man's prophecy turned the nation into life. You can do the same, friends. The Bible says, do not despise prophecy, because prophecy is a very powerful gift. So let's just read it again so you're absolutely clear what the Bible is teaching here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 1. Read it, study it when you get home. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Are you eagerly desiring the spiritual gifts of God? I ask you, because God wants you to. He challenges us eagerly. You've got to have a passion. Lord, can I be used in the gift of healing? Lord, can I be used in speaking in tongues? Can I be used in prophecy? Could I be used in doing a miracle? You sure can. But you've got to want it. You've got to be eagerly desiring spiritual things. The problem is, I think, what happens in our lives, there's so much going on, it's like the spiritual side can become very small. And the spiritual side is going to become larger. The spiritual side, the prophecy, the gifts, the tongues, and everything that God has for us has got to become bigger and stronger. Because we are not here to make a living. Though that might come as a surprise to some of you, we are not just here to make a living. You are here to fulfill the purposes of God.
Yes.
That might partly be to do with having a job, and more than likely it is, because you can partly fulfill your ministry in the workplace, but you also have to fulfill your ministry in the church. So your ministry will take you into the world where you can be a witness, and you can prophesy to people and encourage them and inspire them to follow Jesus, and that's your whole work scene. But then there's the church, where we are today. And the church is not just a building. I've told you that many times before. It's the people that are the church. We are the church. So if we meet on a Tuesday night, that's church. Even if we meet in a coffee shop in town, two or three of us, that's church. Or we meet here on a Sunday, it's church. Where we meet together to encourage one another, inspire one another. And this is very often where God is going to use the gifts in your life. Where God will give you a word of knowledge for somebody else. He'll give you a word of wisdom for somebody else. He'll give you a prophecy for somebody else. He'll use you in gift of healing for somebody else in the congregation. So this is where we develop our gifts. Amen. This is where we begin to flow in the Spirit. As that message came this morning, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That's you and me, every one of us, and your family. Praise God, it's going to happen in Jesus' name. So he says, especially the gift of prophecy. Why is he encouraging us to move in this gift? Verse 2 says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. This is a wonderful gift. If you don't speak in tongues, ask God for it. It's a marvelous gift, because it's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to put it in you, and you're going to start to speak in tongues. And the Bible says that your mind is unfruitful. You don't know what you're saying, but your spirit is talking directly to God, and you're communicating with God through a heavenly language. Praise God for a wonderful free gift. Anybody want the free gift today?
Yes.
It's available. Go after it, Richard. Ask God for it. You'll be filled and you'll speak in tongues. You will, brother. Just ask God for it. You've got to be hungry. He says, anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. Unless, of course, we interpret. So we can speak in tongues and then we can interpret the tongue. It's not a translation, it's an interpretation. It's not a word-for-word translation. This is what I feel God is saying. And then the Bible says somebody else can say, well, I feel God is saying this. Where two or three people can bring an interpretation. It's kind of, I feel this is what God is saying. And that's good. You know, God may speak through two or three people. So you speak in tongues and then there's an interpretation. But he's saying, especially this wonderful gift of prophecy. He says here, that when we speak in tongues, we are uttering mysteries. What is a mystery? It's a secret. I don't know what I'm saying, but God knows.
Yes.
God is listening to my speaking in tongues. It's a heavenly language. And the wonderful thing is, the devil doesn't know what you're saying, because he doesn't understand it. It's the language of the Holy Spirit. You speak in tongues because it's a marvelous gift. The Bible says if you speak in tongues, you're going to be strengthened. You're going to be edified. You're going to be encouraged. He says here, verse 3, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Were you comforted this morning? Were you strengthened this morning? Were you encouraged with the word this morning? Well, guess what? Maybe next Sunday God's going to use you to prophesy. You're all just going, oh, not me. You see, what does fear do? It causes you to shrink back.
Yes.
The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. Suddenly, your mouth closes up. I can't do this. Yes, you can. You can prophesy next Sunday. You just got to ask God for it. You got to step out. See, every single gift of God operates by faith. That's how it works. It doesn't operate through fear. You're sitting in your seat thinking, oh, I'm never going to do this. You'll never do it. If you suddenly just, as Mike brought that word, step out. God's looking for us to step out. And then, just by faith, you don't. Maybe God gives you a couple of words. As you share the words, He gives you a couple more. As you share the words, He gives you a few more. That's how it works. You don't get a script before you prophesy. It's one word at a time. And as you share those few words, then God will give you another few words. And then you just share it until you feel, I'm done. It's really quite easy to prophesy. We're just trying to complicate it. But it is a marvelous gift of God. And He wants you to prophesy. Amen?
Amen.
He wants you to prophesy. You don't just have to prophesy on a Sunday morning. You can prophesy anywhere, anytime. In a prayer meeting. When you're with another Christian, you say, I feel God has given me a word. You can prophesy to them. It's the gift of God. But He says this, that if we prophesy, we speak to men for the strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Prophecy will always lift you up. Amen. It will always strengthen you and encourage you. It will never condemn you or bring you down. If anybody brings a prophecy and it is pulling you down, you know it's not of God. A prophecy will encourage and inspire you to go further and open your eyes to new things. So friends, I want to encourage you today to walk in the spirit of prophecy. You see, we read about King Saul. And we read that there were many prophets. Samuel had his prophets. He was training them how to prophesy, how to walk in the things of God. And he would train them. And then one day the Bible says that Paul was walking along, and alongside him were the company of the prophets. And suddenly he got caught up in the spirit of prophecy. And the Bible says he started prophesying. And the Bible says he was turned into a different person. Isn't that amazing? When the spirit of prophecy comes on you, you get incredible boldness. You get incredible courage. You get incredible power in your words. So there was Saul. He's just walking along as the king of Israel. And there's the company of the prophets. And it says that Paul joined them, and the spirit of prophecy came on him. He was turned into a different person. You want to be turned into a different person? Start prophesying. Allow the Holy Spirit to come on you and allow Him to fill you and give you that fire to prophesy. Usually, I find when we worship, it releases the spirit of prophecy. And when you pray a lot, it releases the spirit of prophecy. Suddenly you start prophesying, you start speaking into situations, you start speaking into nations, start speaking into people's lives, you start prophesying and speaking over them. Even if you don't see them, God may use you to speak a word into their lives and speak a word of life to them, and that word will change them. Because if Ezekiel could speak to the dead bones, you can speak to dead situations to come back to life. You can speak into your children's lives. You can speak into your family's lives. You can speak into any situation. God is looking for us to step out. Step up into something new and fresh. I feel like God is saying that through the prophecy this morning. The prophetic singing that was here is God wants us to step into some new things. How boring just to do church and do the same old, when God is saying, behold, I do a new thing. God wants to do some new things for you. Maybe He's going to use you in evangelism. Start preaching to people and seeing them being converted and seeing them come into the kingdom of God. You just got to be available and allow God to use you and step out there and start sharing the word. See, we're not in this to become famous. We're in this to make God famous. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. May He increase. Is that what John the Baptist said? And when they heard about Jesus, what he was doing, he said, this is what he said, may he increase, may Jesus increase, may I decrease. And that's what our ministry is, making Jesus bigger, making God bigger in the workplace, making God bigger in my home, and shrinking back and allowing God to have His place. See, in a sense, we all need to be hidden behind the cross, don't we? We all need to be hidden and not seen, hidden behind Jesus, and allow His ministry and His spirit to do awesome things and new things in our lives. God wants to take you into some new areas, new gifts and new dimensions, but we've got to be hungry, and that's why he says you have to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Are you eagerly desiring the gifts of God? Or are you just thinking, well, it sounds like a good idea, maybe someday? You're not going to get it. You know, on Christmas morning, when you got those little kiddies, 2, 3, 4, 5 year old, they come down, they don't look at them and go, oh, I think I'll wait for next Christmas. They're ready to rip open their presents because they're so excited. Come on, church. You've got something more than a Christmas present. You've got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Run after them, pursue them, seek them, ask God for them. Say, Lord, what gifts do you have for me? It says you must eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. You must desire it with all your heart. I've heard of people who wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They wanted to speak in tongues. They prayed, I think, for years. Lord, I really want this gift. I really want this gift. And some people can just get it in an instant. I remember this guy in Zimbabwe. Sharon's going to laugh at this. His name is Paddington, because he just watched the movie at Christmas. And I was out on my, usually on my bicycle, and I started evangelizing with the local people. And I met this guy called Paddington. And I talked to him about Jesus, and he accepted the Lord Jesus into his life. So I said, come back to my house. And he came back to my house, and then I prayed for him for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness, did he get a touch from God? Wow. He just trumpeted in tongues. It was so loud, I'm sure woke up all the neighbors. But I just prayed for him. He got it in an instant. It can happen just in an instant. But it's a godly thing. It's a good thing. It's a gift of God. Why wouldn't you want it? Why wouldn't you desire it? The Bible says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. I know there's some churches teach you shouldn't speak in tongues, but it's in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, it's good enough for me. It's a godly gift. You speak in tongues. The Bible says here, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. When you're speaking in tongues, you're building yourself up. You're building spiritual strength into your spirit. You speak in tongues, you're building strength and encouragement and comfort. Strength in the Lord. And he who prophesies strengthens the church. That's why Paul says, he who prophesies is greater than he that speaks in tongues. But you can speak in tongues and prophesy. And speak in tongues and get an interpretation. Why not go for the whole lot? Why not go for everything that God has? Why not be hungry? These are marvelous gifts, friends. We must operate in the wonderful gifts of God. He who speaks in the tongue edifies, builds himself up, and he who prophesies edifies the church. Listen to me. So he goes on to say, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. That's what Paul's saying. I would like every single one of you Christians to speak in tongues. Why? Because it's so beneficial. It's so important for the church to have these gifts. And we must use them. We must receive them and we must use them. We must walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul said later in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Somebody said, Paul must have woken up praying in tongues. He must have gone to bed praying in tongues. I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So it's a gift that you have to exercise. Maybe you do speak in tongues, but maybe you're just not using them. And you're to exercise it. You know, if you go to the gym, you have to lift up the weights. You have to run on the treadmill. You have to move your body. You have to do something. Otherwise, there's no point just visiting the gym and having a look around for an hour. It's not going to do you any good, is it? Is it, Richard? You have to pick up the weights and you have to start exercising. Or get your trainers on. Go for a run. You build up your muscles. And Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. So he's speaking in tongues, he's prophesying, he's speaking in tongues, he's using the gifts of God, and these are gifts that are available for all of you. You must receive the gifts of God. You must open up your heart and say, Lord, I want these gifts. I don't fully understand them, but I would love to speak in tongues. I would love to prophesy. I would love to be used in these marvelous gifts. They're there for you. They're free and they're available. They are wonderful gifts of the church, and they're here to strengthen and to encourage. You see, the Bible goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 14, the spirits of prophets, verse 32, are subject to the control of prophets. So you can turn on tongues anytime you want, or you can stop speaking in tongues. It doesn't just like automatically you just come out of you. Most of the time, you just have to, it's like turning on a tap. Turn it on, turn it off. I decide to speak in tongues. I decide I'm going to prophesy. You feel the stirring in your heart, and you prepare your heart before you come. It's really important that we spend time with God before we get to the house of God. Amen? Most of us are rushing around, getting ready, get to church, get on time, but there's no preparation spiritually. And I love what Tom Deschel said in Zimbabwe. And he was a young Christian. I don't think he was a pastor at the time. But he said, before I went to church, I would seek God. And I would ask him, Lord, is there somebody that you have a word for that you want me to speak to? Have you got a prophecy that you want me to give today, Lord? So he'd prepare his heart, prepare his mind. So before he got there, he was ready to let loose on somebody. He said, who do you want me to speak to, Lord? Who do you want me to minister to? So before you come, prepare yourself spiritually, spend time with God, so that when we come together, there is a huge overflow. There's a huge manifestation of the gifts of God. The Bible says we can all prophesy. We can all speak in tongues. I would that you speak in tongues, Paul says. I would encourage you to speak in tongues. These are wonderful gifts of God. We must desire them, we must run after them, we must desire to prophesy. Because when you prophesy, you're going to encourage someone. And maybe they're going through a hard time, and maybe it's just what they needed. And I often say, as we've been looking at recently, just an article that was written, and people say, you know, the very Sunday you miss could be the very Sunday that's the teaching that you need. Amen? It's very easy, isn't it? The very Sunday that you miss could be the very word from God that you need. So please come to church. This has just gone off. Let me just check that. Come to the house of God. Amen. Seek the Lord. Praise God. It's so important that we keep coming, because what is a couple of hours on a Sunday? It's not that much, is it? It's a couple of hours to receive a word from God. I prepare to bring you a word from God. Thank you. Yeah, that's okay. We got it. It's fine. It is a bit temperamental. You'll have to bear with us. Hopefully it doesn't go off again. So come and receive the word on a Sunday. Cannot stress how important this is, because God's going to speak to you on a Sunday. He's going to confirm some things to you on a Sunday. He's going to speak to your heart. He's going to encourage you. And maybe not only are you coming to receive, but God is going to use you to minister to someone. Even just a handshake or a hug or a welcome can mean a lot to somebody. Let's not forget that we're here to encourage. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of encouragement. Yes. Amen. He is a great encourager. When you're feeling down, he wants to lift you up. Sometimes we go through battles, don't we? Sometimes we're fighting stuff. Sometimes some stuff is hard. The Holy Spirit always comes alongside us, and he wants to pray through us. As Romans 8 says, the Spirit himself helps us in our weakness. We don't even know what to pray or how to pray. Romans 8:31, I think it is. And we looked at that on Tuesday night. We don't know how to pray or what to pray, but the Spirit himself prays through us with groans and with words that cannot even be uttered with human words, with a normal language. And the Holy Spirit is praying through you, and he is wanting to encourage you and lift you out of the darkness, lift you out of the discouragement, lift you out of the battle that you're in. The battle is the Lord's. Amen. We need to keep reminding us, the battle is the Lord's. It's not just our battle. Lord, I want you to be involved in this battle with me. Just going to shift slightly into the Old Testament here for a minute, because David and Paul and Jesus all went through times of rejection. There are times where we can go through rejection. And what happened was in Ziklag, when David had been out with his army of men, there was only about 600 men then. He was being pursued by Saul, and he was out in the desert living far away from Saul, trying to keep away from Saul's clutches, because, you know, King Saul was trying to kill him because Saul was jealous of him. And he tried to kill David many times, but praise God, he escaped. He escaped every time. But on one occasion, we read that in the book of Samuel, it tells us that in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, that David and his mighty men had been out and away from their wives and their children, and they came back, and the area had been attacked by a marauding people, and they'd taken the wives and taken the children, they burnt the town of Ziklag. And it was a terrible time. It says they wept until all day, they wept until evening. And then this terrible thing happened to David. It says then all the men started talking about stoning David. They wanted to stone him to death. Isn't it amazing when a crisis happens how people can suddenly turn on one another? And they talked about stoning David. And the Bible simply says this here about David. It says that, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. They were going to stone him to death. They wanted someone to blame. They're blaming David that this had happened. Really, it wasn't David's fault at all. But they just wanted to focus on somebody to put the blame on. And they wanted to stone him to death. But then the Bible says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. And he said to the Lord, shall I pursue these people or not? And God said, pursue them and overtake them, and you will recover all. Isn't that wonderful that God speaks to his people? Isn't it wonderful when we seek him, when we put God first? And it says that David began to seek the Lord. He put an ephod on. He began to pray to the Lord, which was like a priestly garment to seek God. And God spoke to him, said, pursue and overtake and recover. And they went after, I can't remember, was it the Amalekites? They went after them. They pursued them. And they overtook them. They fought, I think, from morning to night or into the next day. I can't remember. It was a huge battle, a long battle. And it says that they overcame the enemy and they recovered all. They got all their wives back. They got all their children back. They got all their goods back and a lot more. Isn't it amazing to see how God can turn the situation around? Isn't it amazing to see how God can just suddenly, from a terrible crisis situation, from a terrible situation that you're in, suddenly God gives you a word and he says, go after the enemy, pursue him, and take back everything, and you will succeed. Isn't it wonderful when God gives us a word like that? Amen. When we are going on a word like that, I know that God has spoken to me. I know that God has said something to me. Maybe God has said something like that to you, but maybe you just thought you're just hesitating and God wants you to go after it. Maybe he wants you to go after the prophecy. Maybe he wants you to go after the speaking in tongues. Maybe he wants you to go after some ministry or something, but you're just hesitating. You have to step out. You have to step out because God is going to be there when you step out in faith. When God says, go and recover, go and pursue, go and chase this particular ministry or change your job or whatever it is that God is saying to you, go after it. Don't hesitate. Pursue it. Now is the time to do things for the Lord. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. He's talking to the church. He says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We've got to give ourselves fully to this task, to this church, to this work that God has called us to. This is where God has called us to. Amen. This is where God has brought us. And there is a great work for you to do. God has a great ministry for you to do. He has got a great gift of prophecy or speaking in tongues or a gift of healing or something for you to do in this church. This is where God has called you. So let's work together with all our hearts. Not a little bit, not a 10%, but let's work, the Bible says, with everything that is within us. He says that always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Give yourself fully. Where is the work of the Lord? It's involved here in the church at Chippenham Christian Fellowship. And also then we take the presence of God out from here. And we share the love. And we share the grace. And we share the prophecy. We share the gifts out there as well. Gifts of healing will happen in the streets of Chippenham. Gifts of prophecy and words that God has given us. But this is the place where you nurture it. This is where the place where you will be encouraged in the things of God. And then you go out in Jesus' name. Remember, Jesus gave them the Great Commission. And it's still our commission today. Amen. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Don't be stagnant. Don't sit back and say, tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Make it today. You step out in faith and let God use you. Today, pick up that phone and phone that person. Today, do something for your neighbor. Today, write that letter. Paint that picture. Whatever it is you need to do. Don't let procrastination steal from you when God wants you to step out in faith. And don't let fear hinder you, because if there was no fear at all, you would do it. Very often we would do the things that God is calling us to do. If there was no fear, we would just do it. So get rid of the fear. And the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. Amen? He's given you power. When you're in the workplace, you've got power. They haven't. If they don't have Jesus, they don't have the power. You've got the power. And what is the power of God? It's the gospel. Amen. Romans 1:16 says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you. The gifts He's given you are in you. Maybe they just haven't been released yet. And He is in us and He is for us. And if God is for us, who could be against us? He's on your side. He's pushing you on. He said, you can do it. You can do it, Richard. Amen. You can do it, Connor. You can do it. We put our name in there and say, in Jesus' name, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. You can do it. You can prophesy. You can heal the sick. The Bible says that we are to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Praise God for faith and the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of God. There is a multiplicity of things that God has for each one of us. We must enter in by faith. You know, the Israelites were told by God, go into the land of Canaan, take it over, possess it. Every place you set your foot, I'm going to give it to you. The problem was they stopped short of what God had for them. He had a huge area that he wanted Israel to take over, but they stopped about, I don't know, 20% or 30%, saying, oh, we're pretty comfortable here. We'll just settle here. Don't settle. Go for more. God has got more. Don't settle. Go for more. He wants you to go after the things of God and to give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Notice he's not talking to the pastors. He's talking to everybody. Let us give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. If you've got time and energy and breath and life in you, serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Serve the Lord with the zest that he's put in you. Serve the Lord with the Holy Spirit, because he's given you power to be a witness for him. And you will make a difference in the world. Amen. You'll make a difference in your community. You'll make a difference wherever you go. Because wherever you go, Jesus goes. Amen. Amen. Wherever you go, the Holy Spirit goes. He's the power of God. If God Almighty is for you, then you can't fail. You can't fail. You might get knocked down, you just get up again. You just keep going. Those marathon runners, they just don't stop till they finish the 26 miles. They may fall, they get up till they finish it. It's a long time, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. They just got to keep running. And friend, you've just got to keep going and keep focused on the things of God and keep focused on the kingdom of God and keep your eyes on Jesus, because he is our supreme example in everything. He is our encouragement. Jesus himself was despised and rejected by men. Do you ever feel despised and rejected? Jesus was even more. Even his own family didn't accept who he was. Even his brothers and sisters didn't have a clue that they had the Messiah living in their own house. Imagine if they knew who he was. We've got the Messiah in our house. They were like, oh, it's just Jesus. And they got their eyes open one day, didn't they? They were like, oh my goodness, he is the Son of God. And James, of course, his brother, became one of the great apostles in Jerusalem.
Yes.
But praise God, may he open our eyes to see Jesus and all that he has for you. Because he's got so many good things for you in store. We must not settle for that 20% or the 30% or even 50%. We must go for everything that God has for us and pursue it. Like God said to David, pursue and overtake. You will recover everything. Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who always causes us to triumph. God has got victory in store for you. That doesn't mean you're not going to have battles. You're going to have fights. You're going to have battles. You're going to have days of discouragement. Keep fighting. Keep pursuing. You will recover all. You will take back everything that the enemy has stolen from you. But you have to pursue. You have to fight. David couldn't just sit in Ziklag and say, okay, thanks for that word, Lord. It's over to you. David had to get up. And then the Bible says he encouraged his men. And then they got the strength, because they were exhausted from weeping, and they chased after those guys and they pursued them. They had to actually engage in a battle. They had to fight to get the stuff back. And friends, the Bible says you had to fight the good fight of faith. You got to keep going. You got to keep the faith. You have to fight the good fight of faith. You got to keep running, keep pursuing. Every day that you wake up, you're going to say, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus today. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. The main thing in your life is to find out the will of God and do it with all your heart. It's not just your job, friend. It's not just your family. It's the will of God. You must know the will of God and pursue the will of God. That is the main thing that Jesus was doing. Yes, he was a carpenter. Yes, his dad was a carpenter. Yes, he had to go to work. But the main thing that Jesus was doing is he was finding out what the will of God was for him in his life. And that's why he was able to say, I delight to do thy will, O God. Isn't it good to know that we serve a good boss?
Amen.
A good Jesus?
Yes.
A good God? He's not a tyrant. He's a loving father. And he wants to use you, not only in this life, but in the next life as well. So we've got to be faithful now. We've got to be faithful with the little things that God has given us. Faithful in our little churches. Faithful with the little things that God has given us in our little ministries. In our little bit of prophecy. And then at the right time, God will give you more. Amen. And then he'll give you more in heaven. Now here's a person who's been faithful in their local church. They've been faithful in prayer. They've been faithful studying the Bible. They've been faithful in the workplace. Now, God's saying to them, take charge of 10 cities. Wow. That's a bit of a jump. A bit of a jump for Joseph when he was in the pit. And he was a nobody. He was rejected and despised by his brothers. And he was in the pit. And then, after that, he got thrown into prison. Do you think God was looking after him? Didn't seem like it. But he was. And he was faithful in the prison. And he was faithful in the pit. He didn't complain. He didn't moan that anything that I can see in the Bible. Doesn't say he was moaning or complaining. But he was a good steward in prison. He was helping the other people. Suddenly, he's the prime minister of Egypt. He was faithful in the little. Suddenly, God took him to the top. Wow. But God had a plan. And that was to save Israel as well during that severe famine. was a huge famine over that part of the world. And Joseph was in the right place to help his people. God has got a plan for your life, friends. Find out. Seek God. Lord, show me what it is that you want me to do. How can I serve in my local church? How can I get involved in the outreach through Cafe Spiro and through other avenues of community meals and being faithful in prayer and faithful in Bible study and faithful in attending on a Sunday? God will reward you. Isn't it amazing to think, I'll finish on this, that Jesus went to church every Sunday? Except it wasn't called church, was it? It was the synagogue. It says, as was his custom, Jesus went to the synagogue. That just says to me, Jesus was faithful in going to the synagogue. I mean, he had a plan to revolutionize the whole nation. He knew that. But he was faithful in attending every Sabbath. He was there. At the church, at the synagogue. He even stood up one Sunday and he read out from the book of Isaiah, didn't he? And they were so angry with him, they tried to throw him over the cliff. But praise God, Jesus just walked right through them. Because he's Jesus and his time had not yet come. Friends, God has got so much in store for you. You've got to run after it. You've got to pursue it. He says, eagerly desire the gifts of God. Pursue them. Desire them with all your heart. You're going to get them if you desire them and you're eager for them. You're going to get the will of God if you desire it. You're going to get all the good things of the Lord as you pursue them. And I think it's in Isaiah, he says, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the best of the land. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. Let's just thank God for his word. I pray that the Lord will continue to speak through his word in your heart. Let's thank God for his message to us today and pray that it will be sealed in our hearts and not stolen by the enemy. So let's pray that the Lord will just protect that message and that seed of the word. So Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your precious word. Thank you that your word says you are for us, that you are not against us. I thank you for these people today, your people, so valuable, so precious, so hungry for more of you, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you will reward each one for their faithfulness, that you will bless each one for serving the Lord, that, Father, you will just be with them and their families and bring them into the land of Canaan. Bring them into the gifts that you have for them. Bring them in, Father, to all of the things you have prepared for us. May we enter into the land with great zeal, like Joshua and Caleb, who said, give me this mountain. And he took that mountain, Horeb, I think it was. He took the mountain for God. So, Father, I thank you, even at 80 years old, he was still a fighting man. May we say, yes, Lord. May we say yes to more of all that you have for this congregation. May we say yes to the gifts. May we say yes to your will. May we say yes to all that you have in store. And may we pursue like David did. May we overtake and may we recover all. May we receive all of the blessings from heaven. May we receive all the fullness of the Spirit. Father, I pray today, you will strengthen each heart and shield us, Father, from the evil one. Shield the word in us, the seed that has been planted in us today, in Jesus' name. May it not be stolen by the birds of the air. May it not be robbed by the enemy of our souls. May it bear fruit and become fruitful in us, Lord. Father, just thank you for all you're doing in these last days. Just worship you, Heavenly Father. We just worship you. Would you just take a few moments to thank the Lord for what he's doing in your life? Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his grace. Thank him for his word. Thank him for speaking to you today. Praise his name and worship him today. Thank you, Father. Just honor him today. and thank Him for protecting you and shielding you and keeping you safe on the roads and the workplace. Thank Him for protecting your family, shielding them. Hallelujah. We just worship you, Lord Jesus. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are with us. You are in us. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are for us. You are not against us, Lord. Hallelujah.